It's 1975. Saigon has fallen to the North Vietnamese. The end of the war is the beginning of a global humanitarian crisis. The poet Ocean Vuong and his refugee family arrive in Hartford, Connecticut, 15 years later. He's 2 years old. The first place they stay is in a hotel.
And then we ended up in a one-bedroom apartment. And then we went into a tenement on New Britain Avenue. Then our family separated, and then we started to live with relatives. Then we went to Glastonbury for a short while, East Hartford. Anywhere someone could get a nice place, everyone would just go there.
Vuong is now 27. His poetry has been featured in The New Yorker more than once. He's published several collections and is a literary voice people are paying attention to.
Like any good son, I pull my father out of the water, drag him by his hair through white sand, his knuckles carving a trail the waves rush in to erase, because the city beyond the shore is no longer where we left it.
Vuong writes about dislocation and about the idea that without political violence, he wouldn't be alive. His mother's father, his grandfather, is an American who fought in Vietnam.
And I think this story, it becomes very integral to me growing up in America, particularly how we think of war in the timeline.
History is slippery. When does war truly end? In Vietnam, in the Middle East?
And when we look at the Syrian crisis, it's strange to me that we call it crisis. Like, what do we expect? You know, and I think part of that is a surprise that comes with the linear timeline. Now it's over, right?
Far from it. In school, the timeline, Vuong says, went like this. Something bad happened in an Asian country. And then, a couple of pages later, it was on to the Gulf War. It was Vuong's grandmother who died in 2008, his mother and her sisters who taught him about the Vietnam War and what life was like before.
You know, my family, they come from a long line of rice farmers, and they just worked on their fields. And a lot of the Vietnamese, even the soldiers who fought, did not know the politics behind what they were doing. And so it was utter chaos.
He began to write down his family's words, songs, and images they described of fields lighting on fire. He wanted to know more.
And so when I asked the next question, why, I was suddenly become the precocious child in the family, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, stop, we don't want to unravel pain because we have already survived.
Vuong's brother was born in the U.S. He is a typical American teenager, Vuong says. He likes girls, he has a job at Stop and Shop, and he's lived a safer, more stable American childhood than Vuong.
It made me happy to see that ultimately one of us, at least, in the family lived, you know, without fear of displacement, without uncertainty, without navigating through not being able to speak. And for a long time, my family was mute in society.
And there was such shame in being an outsider.
You know, before going to school every morning, my mother would say, be careful, you're already Vietnamese. And I always had this sense that I was a perpetual trespasser, you know, a guest. And in a way, we were.
Despite their turmoil, Vuong says most of his family members are now living very American lives, full of drama and hope, and some version of the American dream. For a brief time, Vuong thought his was to be in corporate America. He became a business major for about 3 weeks. Then, at Manchester Community College in suburban Hartford, he was introduced to literature, philosophy, big ideas. That continued at Brooklyn College. He began to see this inheritance of war in the Greeks, in Homer. It's in the writings of the poet Paul Celan, a Holocaust survivor, who had a major influence on Vuong. And it's in a children's book called Thundercake by Patricia Polacco. He read it when he was 11. Vuong jumps up to get it down from a shelf.
This is so important. This is one of the first books I ever read. And you can see it's a very simple book. This is like sort of like my little totem when I'm writing.
It's about a young girl and her Russian grandmother, a survivor of war, and they make a cake with the coming of a storm.
Perhaps Patricia Polacco never dreamed that a Vietnamese boy in Hartford would read her book and see himself. And yet it happened. Storytelling can make this happen, where we can recognize one another.
In college, Vuong read something else that's always stayed with him. It's a 1915 speech by President Woodrow Wilson. He's addressing 3,000 new American citizens in Philadelphia. This is the takeaway for Vuong, read by an actor.
I was born in America. You dreamed dreams of what America was to be, and I hope you brought the dreams with you.
I was just so surprised that here's the President of the United States empowering immigrants. Usually it's always, you know, being talked down to. You know, we're always asked to prove ourselves. But here is the most powerful man in the country saying, here's a blank slate. Write on it what you want. Add your dream.
Vang's American dream, it's simply the possibility of things. He recently bought a little house in Western Massachusetts, where he hopes to bring his mother someday. Vang says it will allow him to grant her American dream, a garden. And he came back because he realized he's a New Englander. He mentions a train ride. He's heading north, looking out the window, seeing the fields, the marshes, the mist rising over them.
And all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, I know that. I never saw that in New York. And that mist was home for me.
Ocean Vong says he never thought he would feel at home in America. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jill Kaufman.